Y'all ready for this?
Bum, bum, bum.
What? No, that's not the melody. That's starting hit. He's like, y'all ready for this?
Hey.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 137. Welcome back, Kenny.
Thanks. I missed being with you guys last week and I missed Nolan being underwhelming in his introduction of himself.
That shouldn't be too much of a surprise for you. Maybe you were gone too long and you forgot sometimes.
I forgot.
We missed you. We had and have no idea where you were, but
still don't. So you want to enlighten us?
Oh, what happened? I was just on vacation.
Oh, we knew it would be very vague.
Where did you go? Are you not going to tell us?
Oh no, I can tell you. I was at the lake.
The lake.
Yeah.
The lake. That's always the culprit. Uh-huh. There's many lakes in this world.
There are.
He's not going to say.
I found a new one recently by my house, and we've been swimming in it a lot. That's unrelated to last week's vacation.
It's a puddle.
Well, we had to record an episode without you, and a Kenny-less episode is, as we always say,
a boring-less
episode.
Good.
I was also
It's
dying.
A pretty good episode.
I was sick.
Yeah, Nolan was sick, so it's pretty much... but you really stepped it up for that. I was really proud of you, Nolan.
Thanks. I'm better now.
Yeah. Thanks for carrying on.
Everything's good. We're all back together. Everyone's healthy. E3 has come and gone. And as always, there are mixed feelings at the end of an E3. Some excitement, some frustration, and some just like, what... was that? So besides FIFA 19, what are some of the announcements that you liked most?
I don't know. I really like FIFA 19. No. I mean, the biggest one that overshadowed most things was Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Yep.
So that's going to be a
it's
Switch
all I've been
game.
Hearing about.
Every Smash character from every game ever is going to be in this one. It's going to be 67 characters.
That's unreal.
And they added Ridley.
It's Ridley from Metroid, correct?
From Metroid. That's been a meme forever. For whatever reason, a niche part of the community was like, put Ridley in Smash. Ridley should be in Smash 4. And we're like, I was always thinking, Ridley's humongous. He's not a good character. And they gave him to us.
If you are in Discord with us, it's been kind of amazing to watch this progression of Nolan for during that Nintendo E3 because at first you were not for this new Smash title.
No.
Like pretty adamantly against it. Like I'm not really into it and you're kind of defeated. And then like minute by minute, you ramped it up until where like you're now the biggest fan.
Dude, the hype, man. The hype train. You get on the hype train or you get run down by the hype train. I chose to get on. The reason I wasn't on board is because it looked like Smash 4. It looked like an update for Smash 4. And I was disappointed because like it just didn't have its own look and feel to it. But once I saw gameplay, I saw the mechanics were different and I heard some pro players talking about it and it got me hype.
Yeah, totally new game. Like they rebuilt ground up.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough Smash. Kenny, do you know what E3 is?
I do know about E3.
What are the three E's stand for?
The three E's stand for energy, okay. Encyclopedia, and excellence.
Yes.
Energy, encyclopedia, and excellence.
What is the what's the game that you secondhand found out that was shown at E3 that you're excited about?
No, I mean, everything I heard about E3 this year was secondhand. You can't avoid the hype train for Smash Brothers Ultimate, but the only thing I heard about E3 was, hey, because it's E3, Microsoft is pushing some really, really good game deals. Here's some titles you should go buy. But
wait,
then
really?
I didn't know
about that.
So nothing in particular from the show?
No.
Oh,
I was out of the loop, remember? I was at the lake.
I don't think it's the lake's fault. I think you would have been out of the loop in either way.
Oh, yeah. I live out of the loop. That's.
I'm excited about the new Ori game, Will of the Wisps, just mm-hmm. because that was a beautiful title, the first one in the series.
Is this sequel to And the Blind Forest?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
And the last and I think, or the next and I think final Tomb Raider kind of like introductory game.
Yeah.
My wife and I have played through the other ones and they've been so much fun playing together. And so Shadow of the Tomb Raider doesn't really look good, but I was just excited for it. And then I don't know if y'all have seen some about Octopath Traveler, kind of this new, kind of like really JRPG-esque type game that they're creating. I don't know. It looks very intriguing.
It's been in development for a while, apparently, and it's being pushed to Switch now, and it's kind of hyped that it's back on the radar. So
everything
it looks
is
great.
Being pushed to Switch now.
Which, I'm look, wife asked if I should get a Switch, and I'm debating. But
dude, yes.
I know, but would I, we'll talk about it
post-show. Dustin, you would.
I know. There's nothing at E3 about the Final Fantasy VII remake, which, whatever, I'm just done. And then there's nothing about Mega Man 11. There's nothing about, a lot of things, and that's unfortunate. And some would even call it criminal. Well, but sometimes some crimes go slipping through the cracks, but these two gumshoes are picking up the slack.
I'm impressed.
I'm glad you committed to it, but
Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Keep going.
In our retro game of the week, Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Overview.
Chippendale Rescue Rangers is an NES title that came out in 1990 in Japan and North America, came out a year later in Europe. It is a platformer. It follows the television series Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Which,
and go ahead.
Were y'all familiar with the theme song?
No, actually.
Want me to sing it for you?
We know it now.
I do not. I didn't really watch this show.
Okay, and that's a huge question, which I was going to... So you didn't. Kenny, mm-hmm. you didn't either, I'm sure, right?
No, I don't remember this as a TV... Wasn't this movies?
Mostly, I think.
No.
No, or am I confusing Chippendale Rescue Rangers with Rescuers Down Under?
That's completely what you're confusing.
Memory is a funny thing. I know I watched movies? Chippendale.
No, there might have been movies, but no. It was a huge animated TV series on
clearly
Disney.
Then I
probably watched it on a somewhat regular basis.
No, you thought... No. I don't know why I didn't watch it. Because this was my era, early mm-hmm. 90s television, especially animated. And so it would have... I'm wondering if... I didn't have Disney or I didn't even know of it. I don't know because I didn't watch Tailspin or Goof Troops or any of those
Tailspin Disney. Was my jam.
Okay. Well, that's the same era, same kind of Disney stuff that I missed out on for whatever reason. So although I knew of Chippendale and probably came across it every once in a while, it was never one that I watched a lot of.
Well, here's the thing. It's one of those shows that I would appreciate more now, I think, because I knew what it was, the premise of it. But when I went back and read about it, it made me laugh really hard. It's two chipmunks that have their own private investigation, whatever, that take on cases that are quote unquote too small for the real cops.
I love that premise.
All
it's
of
so
their
family friendly.
Clients are animals. That's so good. That's so funny.
So good. And that's I love that small nature is reflected in this game. We'll obviously mm-hmm. get to that. Did you say that it was developed and published by Capcom? Because that's huge.
That was a good big reveal, but now it's not a reveal.
We can cut that.
No. We'll just let it live in shame that you ruined the show.
Yeah, just let it be there. Capcom developed and published this game DuckTales. We recently played DuckTales, and that was a surprise for me that Capcom made that game. Well, they also made this Disney game.
So this was the second Capcom developed Disney game after 1989's DuckTales, which on the same system. So I know that I am going to reference DuckTales a few times in here in mm-hmm. this episode, and I think that's fair. I don't think we can do direct comparisons or anything like this, but it is Capcom, Disney, NES a year later.
Yeah,
it's we've got to talk about it some.
Yeah, I think it's fair. And it's something we've played, so, you know, audience should at least be familiar with the idea, if nothing else. So bring it on.
And more specifically, it was Fujiwara, the guy who worked on Mega Man 2 and Ghosts and Goblins. Like, he was the lead on this one. So weird, but it happened. Very successful game. They sold a lot of copies, and apparently it was just really a really well-received game on the NES. It's a platformer, I think I mentioned, but you play as Chip or Dale, and when I say platformer, I always think like, oh, Mario, or you can fall in a gap and you're jumping on platforms, but this one kind of is, it's just that left to right environment and some obstacles that you can deal with and you can go above. I'm not making a lot of sense. It helps to watch this game while we're talking about it, but it's a platformer.
Yeah, I mean, I was interested to see where you're going with that, because I think it's like very stereotypically platformer. There's still gaps. I mean, you're jumping literally from platform to platform. Just the platforms here are like pots and pans and fans and household items.
Yeah,
which kind of puts a unique spin on it.
Gameplay.
So, Nolan, you mentioned that you can play as Chip or as Dale, and you can't switch off once you start with one, and the gameplay doesn't really change. Their functionality doesn't change at all, which that kind of probably would have been a cool little addition if one...
It's an important decision, though, because they look really different, and it
that's all.
Says a lot about who you are as a person
one
to
wears-
know who you played.
A hat and the other like a Hawaiian t-shirt, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
One of them is cute and one tries too hard.
What? Which one is the try hard?
The Chip. Hawaiian shirt guy? Which one's Chip?
No, he's the one in the hat.
Okay.
Dale is way better.
It doesn't saying. Matter. But one of the things that is really cool, in my opinion, about this game, and that, again, we probably didn't have much playtime with, is that although it is a single-player platforming game, you can play it also in two-player co-op mode.
Which
so
is
couch
super
co-op,
cool.
Where one player can be one of the monks, and the other can be and a friend or a spouse or an enemy could be the other monk, and you can play through together and have some. It's the same again, the same gameplay outside of when you are playing two-player co-op. If your teammate is not doing that well, you can literally carry them. Like, you can pick up your partner and carry them.
Yeah, get carried, noob. Get carried, scrub.
The best.
Right? That's where it came from.
Yeah.
It came from Chip and Dale.
Where it originated.
Rescue Rangers.
Yeah. And you throw boxes a bunch. I mean, but you can also hide in them. I thought that was pretty clever, actually.
That was clever. In DuckTales, you've got a successful gimmick, right? You've got that cane mechanic, that pogos, golf swings. Like, that's kind of the unique thing about that. You cannot jump on enemies. In Rescue Rangers, you cannot jump on enemies either. All you can do is pick up and throw boxes. And so there are boxes on every single stage.
Everywhere.
That is your only weapon. That is the only way that you can do damage to enemies. And so I would not call that a successful gimmick. I would call that really... Sorry. There are apples every once in a while. Just huge apples.
Yeah.
That,
but you just throw those too.
But you just throw those as well. And so, yeah, you can pick them up. You can throw them either horizontal or vertical. Just those kind of two directions. The one... part that was kind of cool is that you can hold down, hide inside the box, and then if an enemy runs into you, then that discards the box and kills the enemy.
And like, you can see Chip or Dale's eyes in the box, like hiding, little animation. It's kind of cute, but
it was adorable and best move for sure.
I mean, but here's my problem though. Only move besides throwing.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, it just felt like a very... like cut and paste, right? I mean,
yeah, very cheap way to do it. There's no, You know, okay, so I think I've come down to with these early platforming games that you've either got to upgrade your character or upgrade the levels, because we've seen both of those done really, really well to get some variety. But with this, and I mean, in DuckTales, that was somewhat limiting too, because you do have the Pogo and the Golf Swing, but it doesn't upgrade, which it does in DuckTales 2, which we haven't played. But in Rescue Rangers, you don't have any upgrade to your character, and the stages don't really upgrade. They do change, but you're not doing anything different.
See, I don't know. I didn't mind the gimmick too much. It was a little repetitive, but it at least was a bit different with the hiding in boxes and the vertical throwing to how things could have been. I appreciated that it wasn't just a jump on enemies' heads thing. I like when games try and do things differently.
I would have preferred that.
Where I had a problem is with the way they designed bosses around the mechanics that they were given.
Boss fights are the worst in this game.
Yeah, because I just felt like it was really uninspired. I didn't mind how it had an impact on your platforming, even though it was a little straightforward, and you're right, not like super crazy level design or anything. There was a few places you had to stack boxes to get around something, or you had to learn certain enemies took two hits, or you had to learn an enemy's pattern. But with the bosses, it was like, grab the ball. There's always a ball provided for you. What?
A random red ball on every single
that
boss
has
stage.
Busted physics. Yeah. Like, doesn't like, bounce properly.
It's like you get a the box, but it wanted a reusable box. So they just gave you a ball and you throw it at the boss, and it can hit it on the way up and on the way down. And then all you do is dodge some projectiles and like.
Right.
You learn the boss's variety, pattern. It's just boring. Right.
The variety is boss pattern and what the boss is throwing at you, whether it's lightning bolts or feathers or whatever. And all you do is toss the red ball up at the enemy 5 times and you beat the enemy. That is the, I think that is the biggest downside to this game. There is no diversity in bosses. Sure, the animations and the image, like the boss itself is cool. Like it is different and creative. I mean, that first boss is lame. I was like, what am I even fighting?
That little robot thing? What even was it? Had six arms?
No idea.
I think some kind of cleaning device inside that house. I really couldn't tell.
Oh, okay,
but
maybe.
The boss diversity in design is good. The boss diversity in the battle mechanic of that is
terrible.
Completely a cop out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
something that was a little interesting to me, and I kind of thought was unique and whatever, but and we forgot to mention the plot here. There's a bit of a plot. So Gadget, which is the female in Rescue Rangers, right? The female monk.
Mm-hmm.
Gets captured by Fat Cat, and you're trying to go get her back. Well, she's calling you or sending a carrier pigeon. I don't know. She is telling you hints in between levels of like, hey, in stage D or in stage B, you have some valves that you have to shut off, jump on the valves. I thought that was cool, but that's something, all of the hints and tips that she's giving me, I would have definitely figured out in like 5 seconds on my own. So I thought they could have done a little more there, like maybe with the game mechanics, like, hey, the carrier pigeon just sent you, I just sent you this with a carrier pigeon. It's not a pogo stick, but, you know, a new item to deal with enemies. That would have been better.
And they could have done a little bit of that. I don't know if you guys, and I think it might have been optional. No, because you had to get through that wall. At one point, you do get a hammer.
Oh, yeah.
And so you break through this wall, and so they could have had the option of putting in more variety of weapons or items fairly easily. I think it was probably on purpose, for the same reason that it probably was on purpose that they over-explained things. And it's because they were aiming pretty young, audience-wise. And I don't think that that's necessarily a problem, but I think it definitely shows up in how this game plays.
I did a first play this week, as well as I streamed a complete playthrough of the game as I was kind of just figuring it out for the first time. And you could watch in my stream, at least, that I went from really enjoying it, because I thought some of the music was good. I thought the characters, we've used the words like adorable and cute so far. And it is. I mean, it's two little chipmunks
absolutely
in a big world. And so even like the stage designs, in my opinion, kind of creative in that everything is just huge. So like, I think I've referred to this already, but you go into a kitchen and you're going across like these huge pots that you can fall into, and you're jumping on knobs and water spigots and all of these different things. That's adorable and all. And so I'm enjoying some of those things, but I go from really enjoying to questioning some of the choices that were being made and the repetition of the game, to in that stream outright disliking the game and being completely frustrated.
It was reminiscent to me when I was watching it, like, of Blaster Master, right? You went from sheer like adoration and appreciation to like, I'm so done. And it was really entertaining to me. Like, that, I think that's really funny, and you should stream every game that we play.
here's what I'm coming down to the conclusion of, and what I've got to differentiate here in discussing this game and coming to a decision at the end, is I think a large portion of my frustration with these games is platforming video games. I am not good at platforming video games, and especially ones that are punishing. One of the things here that I think is that it suffers with is that there's no different difficulty levels. You have one difficulty level, and so you've got three hearts, and so you can get hit three times, or you can fall once off the screen, and if you do either of those, then you start back at the checkpoint. It's relatively punishing.
And can we talk about the collectibles? What's the point?
I got you.
Did not figure it out.
Took me a while.
You're collecting flowers, I think that's what the pixel art is, but there's no score being kept anywhere.
If you press select, okay, you get three letters. I think it's F, S, and P, and then you get a number beside them. So what I would do is I would collect something, I would go to select to see what changed, and then I would kind of put two and two together and try to figure out what those letters stood for.
Pecan?
Flowers, star, and I still can't figure out what
I think it's probably your player ups. Isn't it just your lives?
Like, that's your one up. Stars gave you, is it not?
No, you had to collect 10 stars to get a one up.
Okay.
Or 50 flowers.
And I thought it was for every 100. Right? Is it for every 50? Every 50 or every 100 stars, then I thought this was kind of cool. Instead of just giving you the one up right away, a star comes floating on stage and you still have to catch it to be able to get that one up.
I do like that. Well, at least there was a point to it. I thought it was just like there, and I was like getting really pissed. Like, why am I going out of my way for these gray boxes that don't mean anything?
See, once I realized that I was going to need those lives, because though I wasn't terrible at this game, I wasn't great at it. I started intentionally collecting stuff just to give me a little bit of padding.
Well,
I needed
do.
The padding a lot less though, once I realized that every time you beat the level and get the end of level rewards, that those boxes post level are the same. I thought at first that they were going to be randomized and you were going to be like looking for the best box. You can go and get a one up box
at the very
top
middle
of the screen every single time, and it gives you such a help. there were a number of things that just made this game easier because they were just right there. And that was, I think, one of the biggest ones.
I think one of you mentioned it, and it's kind of on point. I really do think that this game was for kids, you know, and you get that obviously in the theme and everything like that. But even in the gaming mechanics, it's just it wasn't a difficult platforming game compared to many others. And especially the first few stages. I mean, you could breeze through without even losing a life. Nolan, I'm sure you kind of breezed through a lot of this because it's not a difficult game. No. And the story, although we mentioned it, I mean, it's not anything to write home about. It's really just there just to be there. Sure. But I heard something this week. I think I was watching a video on something, but like, you don't play these early NES games for the story anyways, right? Like,
not really. I don't have a problem with the story.
Yeah, well, I don't think it added anything. It didn't detract, but it didn't add anything. I do like, so we didn't even talk about, but you've got an overworld map, quote unquote, after each stage, and they're kind of, the only thing that differentiates between each is like, it's just the letter. Like, so you've got
A, B, C,
stage A, B,
A
C,
G.
Yeah. And so being that way and the way that it branches off, I think you can skip three different stages if you want to, because of the route you take. You can actually skip a few stages, which I guess is kind of cool. But then after each stage, you are connected back with home base or whoever one of your Rescue Ranger crew members are, and they give you a hint for an upcoming stage of either like how to turn a water faucet off or how to avoid this or turn this switch off. And so I thought that was kind of cool too.
Aged. All right, let's talk age, boys. It baffles me that this game came after DuckTales.
Why do you say that? Because of DuckTales being
I wasn't as huge of a fan as of DuckTales as I think you were, Dustin. But clearly I appreciated it and was pretty impressed by it.
Yeah.
So this to me is kind of
step back.
A step back in a few ways, maybe a few steps back concerning gameplay and a few of the other elements. Like, and it was Capcom again. So I'm just really confused. I don't know.
The big differences to me in things that made DuckTales, and again, it's just a natural place for us to compare, was the openness and non-linear nature of it and the interestingness of the mechanic. And you at least miss out on one of those really bad in this game because the game plays a lot more linear and because your levels themselves are left to right, but in forced style. So think Mario where you can't go back. Yeah. And that just feels really different from a game like DuckTales, which was open and you could explore freely.
I think that's some of it. And DuckTales had some limitations too, as far as progression goes. There were more options. And I think they tried a little bit with that overworld map where you could skip maybe a level or two here and there. But like in DuckTales, you had like things that you were collecting for Scrooge. You were collecting major items.
It was all about that money.
It was all about that money, and it kept track of your money, and that had a purpose, and even maybe a second ending or something like that. And I'm listing things, and you're hearing me list multiple things, and that they're not here. Right. And I know they're. Go ahead.
Well, I think I may have just figured it out. Like the comparison between the two. This is, and obviously they didn't go into it thinking this, but I think this is the outcome. Quantity over quality. I think in DuckTales, they had quality over quantity. Here's what I mean. You only had, I think, 5 stages in DuckTales. You only had one character, and you only had one collectible. It's just money everywhere, right? But in Chippendale, you have like 10 stages. You have 2 characters. You have these 3 different collectibles. I think they were just going do you see what I'm saying at all? Like, I think that there was just more, but in doing more, they may have spread themselves out a little too thin.
And you know what else just hit me too as you were talking? I think this game, you need to play co-op for it to be as fun as the developers intended. Because I forgot about co-op again. And it's one of those games like we freaking should have been able to play together, but we couldn't. And I think if 2 people played this, it'd be a little better. But I don't think it'd solve it for me. I still think that the main mechanic of picking up boxes and throwing it is atrocious. I can't do that for a long time and have fun. It's not like it's not like the mechanic doesn't work. It functions fine. The physics are fine. It's just it's not a fun thing to do for an extended period of time.
See, I'm going to go back and just say that I think, and I may be wrong, but I think that it was just intentionally a different game. And I think it's just because it was designed for a younger audience. I know that's a hard argument because DuckTales is also cartoon. Maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot there. But this game feels like it's trying to be accessible in a lot of really overt kinds of ways. And that's from difficulty to how simple the mechanics are. Like, you could have made the box throw a number of different directions, and you could have made it where hiding behind the box took like a button combination. You had to like hold down and push a button or whatever. No, if you're holding a box and you push down, boom, you hide. It's easy. It's so simple. But I think, again, probably in my mind, it was all intentional things. And yes, it makes the game playing it later and as an adult less fun overall. But I don't think it's unfair to give them that hard of a time for it because I just feel like they did what they were trying to do.
Let's talk about the two things we often talk about when it comes to age, and that's music and graphics. We haven't really gone deep there yet, and it doesn't matter which order. I'd talk about just graphics first. I think that's one of the places that this game shines. I think that just like DuckTales, it does really well graphically, especially with the NES. I think it's pushing some of that, man. They give us some detailed rooms and elements, so much color. Chip and Dale, I mean, it's cartoon characters on a video game, but as cute as can be. I mean, fun. The variety of enemies and the different ways that even some of they don't necessarily function different, but they all look different. I think graphically, that's one of the places that this game shines. Especially, you've got to remember NES, guys. This is early.
I fully agree. And I think as much as like the prettiness of it was there, it was just not from a gameplay point of view, but from just a visual point of view. I agree with what you said earlier, Dustin. The small characters, big world thing gave them a really wide creative palette. And again, since they were sort of, I think, pulling from source material, they had, you know, a lot of variety of things to use. But the game looks great. I think it looks as good as any similar kind of game out there.
And they nailed the enemies. I think all of the enemies are very different. Like, they all look completely unique and very different and hilarious. And
they do
and
even
point.
Play differently. They really do.
Now, the music, I thought, was quality. I didn't, like, it didn't really stick with me. Like, this is incredible music.
Right, but to be fair, I don't think DuckTales did either for you.
Not really.
I thought this was good music. Again, I started with by enjoying it. I thought some of the tracks were pretty good. I don't remember them. None of them compared to like the moon theme on DuckTales. Yep. But they're good, but I feel like it's a lot more repetitious. I feel like they're shorter songs than the ones on DuckTales. There's more of them maybe, but they're shorter. They kind of just repeat. They're even used for this same song for multiple stages. And so It didn't do it for me as much as maybe the graphics did for me in this game.
I thought it was still well done, though. Throw in a little bit of theme and then kind of keep things musically in a way that sets the mood. And I didn't think it was bad music by any means. I thought it was good music, but I agree, not exceptional.
If you just can't get enough of these cute detective chipmunks, then there is a Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers 2 that came out in 1993 for the same system. And like DuckTales 2 did for DuckTales, this one kind of, Kenny, you had mentioned that, and you probably didn't know this, you've got new angles to throw the boxes in Rescue Rangers 2.
I'm telling you, it needed it.
No, but that doesn't do it for me. I mean,
oh, it's not enough. No.
Give a diagonal. Wow, so cool. But
is Ridley in the second one?
They did not. He was too big. They didn't bring
Chip
him in.
Chip and Dale, Ultimate.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down for the game. It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or another. Nolan, how about you start us off?
Sure. Before I start, I think we have a lot of Chip and Dale fans in our Discord. Just throwing that out there. I don't give it New Game Plus. I am confused as to why it's not as good as DuckTales, given that the same company produced and developed and published it. I mean, and it's Capcom. It's not a terrible game. It is just severely lacking in mechanics, interesting mechanics. And I don't know. I think I've listed it and we've talked about some of the qualms I had with it, but I can't give a New Game Plus. It wasn't as fun as I wanted it to be. And also, I don't like the excuse that it's meant for kids. I think all video games can be fun, even if it's meant for kids. I mean, it's not meant for infants.
Yeah. I think Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers is a good NES title. For the most part, I think that it holds up today. But is it worth revisiting? My vote would be no as well. It's got charm. And it's cute, but the stages get annoying, and actually, I'm actually going to change my mind. I don't think I've done this before mid-summary.
What?
Yeah, I am.
Are you really?
I'm flipping. But yeah, because this is it's a fun game. It's an imperfect game. I got very frustrated with it. I think a lot of that's platform. But I keep reminding myself this is the NES. It's not as good as DuckTales, but I still think it's a good title. Wow. It's got some good music. It's cute and it's fun and it's light and it's easy. Yeah, I'd say play it.
Wow. You never change your answer.
Well, that makes this result unfortunate for Nolan. Because for what this game was, I thought they nailed it. I'm going to agree uninspired boss fights. I will agree not the single most fun platformer we've ever played. But I enjoyed it. I loved the look of it. The music was fun. The more you play it and get to know the mechanics, some of the, oh, it's a platformer and therefore I'm bad at it, that I always fight with, kind of goes away. And so this is one that I actually had more fun the more I played it outside of those terrible boss fights. In good enough as a game and enjoyable enough for me to say, yeah, it's probably worth a play. So new game plus from me, though not an overwhelmingly strong one.
What's interesting about the outcome here is that I predicted this outcome. I thought that both of you would give it and I wouldn't. But when we were talking, I was like, oh, wow, we're all not going to give it. But there we are.
Well, and yeah. Well, and we've already talked about it. That's interesting, though, that you predicted it, even after knowing how I got frustrated with this game.
Yeah, I think you eventually settled on Blaster Master being worth it. So I kind of...
Oh, for sure. And, yeah. And it's similar, but very different games.
Yeah, sure.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers does get New Game Plus status. It is New Game Plus certified. So find a copy and play it. Let us know what you think about the game. Some of you did this week. You wrote in. Jeff wrote in. Very brief. He said, I must confess, I like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers more than I liked Super Mario Bros. 1. While historically Mario Bros. Is more important and timeless, I think CNDRR is more well made. Feel free to discuss or ignore.
Ignore.
No, you don't give them any credit or any time of day.
I mean, I can't tell someone that they enjoy a game or not. That's not what I'm saying. It's just not better than Mario. I don't believe
them. I can see liking this game and saying that they did some things that were good. But that's a really, really, really high threshold to try and compete with. I'm perfectly okay, like Nolan, with someone liking this game better. And by all means, I think a lot of people would. Mario 1, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with it either.
You just leave it for that.
Yeah.
Jeff, we don't agree, but think that... That is your opinion. Dallas wrote in and he said, when I heard that this was the game of the week, I got excited and was flooded with fond memories of renting this game. I never did very good or got very far as a child, but I continued playing and renting it nonetheless. I recently purchased the game at a local video game store, so I was able to play it on the actual console. Fun. This game is great. The graphics and the music were perfect to me. Made me feel like I was watching an episode of the cartoon from my childhood. The controls were smooth to me as well. Tons of different enemies and styles of obstacles. The only thing that I might knock this game on is its difficulty. While I was a child, I only remember getting through the first couple of levels. When I picked up the game this week, I flew through the levels and didn't really have much trouble with it until I got to the final levels. To me, this game proves once again that Capcom knows what they are doing with video games, even if it's based off of a kid's cartoon.
You know, I had kind of forgotten, but that's a fair thing to point out. That I felt like a lot of the difficulty was fairly static, but when you got to at least that very last level, and with some of the enemies, you could argue it goes sooner than that, but it was the conveyor belts. Things got a little bit tougher. They made you earn it.
Yeah, tougher, annoying, whatever the word is there.
That's fair. And it certainly still isn't a super hard game.
I would argue with him, although there were different enemies. I don't know if there were different styles of obstacles that kept being introduced. I felt look at me going back on this game. I felt there was a lot of repetition here. But again, I do think that they do well with connecting it, although I didn't watch it much, to the show. You get a lot of the cast of characters. You get some of the same vibes, some of the same music, some of the same villains, some of the same story. So I think there is definitely a connection there for someone who was a fan of the show growing up. But for now, we are putting Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers to rest, and we are randomly selecting our next retro game of the week. Kenny, you missed this last week. Are you ready for a new game?
I am.
Are you ready for the randomizer to determine our fates?
I never am.
Is the excitement building to where you can't even contain it anymore?
Yes.
Randomizing now. So there's not much information about this game.
Cool.
Interesting.
Just it lie about
was it. Released by Acclaim Entertainment in the year 2000.
I know the
for
year.
The PlayStation.
I know the console.
Okay.
All right.
It is about two twin girls named Mary Kate and Ashley in Magical Mystery Mall.
That's not real life.
The Olsen twins, again.
This is bound to be an incredible game.
Guys, I'm going to the lake.
It doesn't even have its own Wikipedia page.
Oh, no. Wow, okay.
That means we have an opportunity to create one.
For PlayStation. So you know it's going to be good.
The Olsen twins.
Back at it again.
Back at it. Back on the grind.
I don't.
Did y'all ever watch the pizza one?
Yeah, the slowed down version of it on YouTube. Yeah, it's classic.
I don't know. I don't know how to react to this.
With glee. Join us this week as we play Mary Kate and Ashley in Magical Mystery Mall.
You can talk about that game in Discord with us this week if you want to. Go to Twitter, follow us, and then click on the Discord link to get an invite to our Discord.
Whereas normally I thank our patrons for enabling us to play games, especially our producer level patrons, Bradley, Zion, and Gimbarino. I'm really afraid of this week's game, and so I don't know if I'm comfortable expressing my gratitude, but thanks a lot.
And to all of our producers who support us on a regular basis. As always, you can find us on social media. That's Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can find us on YouTube or Twitch. We stream or upload video content on a regular basis. Listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe and feel free to leave a kind rating and review. Thank you, as always, to Tom Tate for editing and producing these episodes. And check out his podcast as well, Nintendo Absolutely. Power Time Podcast. Great podcast. He's back in the game now and goes through and reviews the old magazines one thing at a time. One magazine, one catalog, one edition.
Edition. No? Yeah.
Join us next week as we play Mary Kate and Ashley Magical Mystery Mall. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I can't believe this is happening.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been a reunion of New Game Plus. Don't, it's not good.
It could be worth an auto-tune remix.
No, it doesn't need auto-tune. I nailed it.
Tom's definitely going to do that now. Because
no, that's so much work.
Sometimes they'll slip in through the cracks, but these two gumshoes are picking up the slack. Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers, Chip and Dale. Rescue Rangers.